Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Financial Fitness live in studio. It's Real Estate Month. We are talking real estate with one of the top realtors in the entire country, Mr. Darren James. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you, and I'm glad to have you in the studio to talk about a lot of myths, and we're going to dispel some of those myths. We're also going to talk to our buyers. If you were watching or listening our Real Estate Month, last week we talked mostly about selling, and for our sellers, this week we're going to focus on buyers and the buying side of the business, being that that's where most people are right now, and people are getting some bad advice or watching the market and a little fearful. And I think there's a lot of unnecessary anxiety that's being put out there. So I know you're an expert. You work with a lot of the top experts in the country, so we can cover some of those topics.
Absolutely. Love to. Love to. Can't wait to. You know, one of the biggest myths that they have out there is that, you know, in today's world, one of the major things that we have to have, we have to have shelter, we have to have water, we have to have food. So people are still going to buy. And even historically, over the last 40 years, 6.4% has been the average interest rate. So we're still well within the norm. Would you agree with that?
I'm in total agreement with that. I've talked about it many times on the show this year because people have been nervous with rates going up. Should I wait? Early this year, anyone who's watched my show, I told people at the end of last year, don't wait. I told people early this year, don't wait. The midpoint of this year, don't wait. And anyone who waited is kicking themselves now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the rates have continued to go up, and this mythical price correction or housing price drop that people, again, who are not informed and who are not true experts, isn't happening. Housing prices are still continuing to appreciate. They might slow down from the double digit, you know, 10, 20, 30% appreciation numbers we saw in some markets, but they're not slowing down entirely, and they're still continuing to appreciate. I'm seeing that in all the markets that I work in, from Florida to Texas.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're seeing that as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so that's the kind of things that, you know, someone like you, having an expert in their corner, is huge, because people who are being told, well, I'm just going to wait for prices to come down, I'm going to wait for rates to come down, those people have been waiting all year, and now they have less buying power.
Absolutely. You know, so sometimes it takes, you know, the days of seeing 2.8% interest rates, probably never see that again in our lifetime, right? But today, the rate today is probably going to be the lowest that it's going to be for quite some time, right? So same thing with a house. If you buy a house right now today, it's generally going to appreciate with value. So the house you buy today is normally going to go up.
Yeah.
Historically, they appreciate normally on an annual basis between 3 and 5% annually.
Right.
You know, whenever we were at 2.8% interest rates the last 6 months of a year and a half, we saw almost a 43% increase in the Greater Baton Rouge area just in property appreciation. It was insane.
Yeah.
And I really, just to be upfront, I don't know how much longer I could have went at that pace that I was going, and because it was absolutely insane.
Yeah. No, it was, I called it shooting fish in a barrel.
That's what it was. Yeah.
You know, it made some salespeople think they were better than they were, and it took some of the skill out of selling real estate or doing mortgages,
right?
Because there's no selling involved, and there was no real advising. It was just putting a sign out, and the house had multiple offers same day in many cases.
Right.
You know, so there was no marketing strategy. There was no building a plan. You know, a lot of the things that you guys do for your clients, you know, that wasn't even necessary last year.
Absolutely. I mean, it was, you put a house on the market, literally, it's gone in an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I put one on the market. I remember on a Friday, the lady, the client who I had, she was been in that home for 17 years. And she was scared to death to sell because she didn't know anything really, you know, different. She lost her husband. And her son called me and said, look, my mom wants to sell her house so she can be closer to me,
mm-hmm.
be closer to the grandchildren and so forth. And she said, well, she's scared. And so I went and met with her, and I told her, I said, look, I'm going to put your house, I'm going to hit the market 10:30 on Friday. She said, okay, I'm just going to go stay with my son over the weekend. You just show it as much as you want. By Sunday, we had 48 showings and 27 offers on that house. And that's what happened. We have to go and we have to present all the offers. We have to, you know, determine to the seller what's going to be the best for her situation, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's really a lot that goes into it on the listing side, the buyer side, and the 26 other people who submitted those offers, they got to start their hunt over again because only one person can buy the house.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a challenging market. Definitely
yeah.
a challenging market.
Absolutely. So let me touch on, you know, one of the things you mentioned with dealing with buying and selling. One of the first things, and I think one of the more important things, especially now in this market that we're in now, where it's still somewhat of a challenge, sometimes getting your offer accepted, the right agent. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the, if they, for some reason, they don't choose Darren James,
yep.
how do you interview and find a really good agent? Because there's so many.
There is. There's tons of agents. You know,
there's only a select few good ones.
Well, you got the 1%ers, you got the 5%ers, you got the 20%ers, and then, you know, it's good to great to mastery. You know, and there's people, anybody can go and get a real estate license.
Right.
Right? So you just got to go to school, get licensed, et cetera. But, and the crazy thing about our industry is that a person who gets licensed today, a person like myself who's been in the business for 23 years, no one really knows that, right, unless it's marketed properly. So every business, to answer your question directly, every business is built off of three P's: the people within the business, the process the business operates, and the product you give the consumer.
Yeah.
So for a person who's looking for an agent, you need to interview that agent.
Right.
And talk to them, because this is one of the biggest investments you'll make in a lifetime. So you need to have a buyer consultation with that agent and see if you can get along with that person, first of all. You know, you got to, and are they going to give you proper advice? Are they going to take care of you? Because you're the people.
Yeah.
And you're the reason why we're doing what we're doing, right? And then, what kind of process do they have to navigate you through those waters? It's easy if I want to go and make a trip right now to Boca Raton, Florida, I may not have a roadmap to get there, right? If I don't have my GPS, if it goes out, my signal, I probably can't navigate unless I find a map to get there to know which highways to take. Same thing in the real estate transaction, right? It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And that agent needs to be able to guide you and hold your hand through that entire process to navigate you. The best analogy I can give you is it's kind of like, goes into teams as well. It's kind of like an airline trip. You take a trip from point A to point B. You're flying from here to California. The benefit of hiring somebody with a team, like our team, the Darren James team, is I'm not a one-person show.
Right.
Right. If that pilot had to check you through security, had to load that plane, had to go and put the plane on autopilot and serve you your water and your peanuts, whatever else that you got going down the aisle, land the plane, how many flights do you think he could really successfully make in a day? He would be worn out because he's doing everything. Well, it's the same thing in the process. And I learned this back when I was first developing a team in 2006. My first buyer's agent was my dad.
Right.
And I work with my dad every day today. And so I had a lady, I was showing a piece of property off of O'Neill Lane in Baton Rouge. And I had a wrapped vehicle at the time with all my advertising on the side of it. And I was showing some clients. And the lady calls me up on the phone, and I missed her call because I was in the middle of showing. So I called her back, and I had her house in the market in that neighborhood. And she said, Darren, she said, I see you were in my neighborhood showing properties. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, why didn't you show mine? I said, well, the reason why, they were looking for a house with a pool, and yours didn't have a pool. They were looking for a four-bedroom, yours was looking for a three-bedroom. And she said, Darren, I hired you to sell my house, not spend all day driving around showing other people houses. I hired you to market mine. And at that point in my life, I was like, am I doing this wrong? Have I been doing this wrong the whole time? And that's when I developed a team to really be able to give that person and that client the very best service. And that's where the process comes in. And the last part is the product that we give the consumer. How do we make this go from a service-oriented business to an unbelievable experience? And that's what we love to grow.
That's awesome. Awesome. And we got just about 30 seconds or so before the break. Is there anywhere where they can see, like you said, experience or volume of sales or anything like that to see the rookie agent versus 23-year veteran that sold hundreds of millions in real estate?
They can go to the Louisiana Real Estate Commission's website, type in licensee search, and they can get how long that person's been licensed in the business along with their education credentials.
Okay.
So that's a good place to start.
Perfect, perfect. And we're going to come back after this short commercial break with more financial fitness with my good friend Darren James talking real estate. Good evening. Welcome back. Our second segment here on Financial Fitness. We're talking real estate. We're talking about selecting the right agent with my good friend Darren James. Definitely the right man for the job if anybody's ever looking in Baton Rouge and the surrounding areas. How far out do you guys go?
We actually go out all the way to Ponchatoula, Hammond area, across the river to Addis, West Baton Rouge, all the way down to Gyro, Falls River area, and then everything East Baton Rouge, Ascension, and Livingston area.
Okay. So all the surrounding parishes, basically about a 40-mile radius or so.
Feliciana's as well, so we'll go to St. Francisville. Just sold one not too long ago in the Bluffs, so
nice.
It's been a great blessing.
I love St. Francis.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful. Oh, my God.
That is one, when the wife and I want to slow down, we'll do like a bed and breakfast.
Oh, yeah, so peaceful
out there.
It's just complete, all the hills. And
yeah.
It's just awesome.
It is a beautiful place.
It really is.
So we were just talking before the break and on the break about selecting the right agent. Tell them again where to go, where they can look up credentials on the agent, see how long they've been in the business and their certification.
You can go to the Louisiana Real Estate Commission's website, type in on the licensee search. You can search to make sure that person's license is active, also that they're in good standing, and also to make sure that any type of educational record that they have as well, how long they've been licensed, etc. So it's a great place to start there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was telling you, one of my frustrations as the lender a lot of times is doing double and triple work.
Right.
And with some of the inexperienced agents or just agents who don't have some of the skill sets with repairs requests. You know, when you guys do an inspection on a house, you know, tell me about that process, because I have some agents that are phenomenal. And they get their buyer a lot of repairs done. They get everything paid for by the seller. And then I end up another half of the time with agents that hop from house to house to house. And the client has paid for 3 and 4 inspections. And every time they get an inspection report, they're backing out before they've even negotiated to get stuff fixed. And I think that's an injustice to the buyer.
Sure.
In spending all that money on inspections. And then not being able to properly negotiate to get those repairs done. How do you handle that?
Well, I think it all comes down to properly setting the expectation for that buyer up front. That's the key. You have to set the expectations, because if they don't know, if it's a first-time home buyer, for example, they don't know what the process is. They have no idea.
Right.
And if they're working with a brand new agent, they may not know what the process is either in some form or fashion, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's one of the biggest investments you're going to make. Are you going to go to your primary care doctor, or are you going to go to a heart surgeon when you need
a heart surgeon,
right?
Yep.
There's a difference, right? Are you going to go to a heart surgeon that's done one surgery, or are you going to go to one that's done 150 surgeries? There's a difference there, right? And so it comes down to proper expectations when it comes to the inspection list. It is. It's a challenge, because that buyer doesn't know what to expect. So one of the things that we did different on our team is that there's a book for expectant mothers called What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yeah.
So I basically put together the same thing. What to expect now that your house is under contract. And we send out all those emails through video, through emails, through text, so they know every step of the way what's happening. Hey, we're getting an update from the lender today. Expect an update. Hey, your home inspection is scheduled for this date. This is what you can expect during that time period. And every inspection, there is no perfect house out there.
No, I've seen new construction inspections with a list of issues that need to be remedied.
Even brand new construction, there's no perfect house. And the thing is that you have to know what is important to that buyer. There's the expectations, right? You also have a plan for attack on that inspection. So one of the things that I've learned in my career is that we look primarily for what's called the 3 S's in real estate. S is in Sam. And the first S is the structure. Is there any issues with the structure? Because that can be a very expensive process to fix if there is, right? The second S is any issues with the systems, the heating and air, the electrical, the plumbing. Are all the HVAC, is the HVAC working properly, heating and cooling properly? Is the GFCIs, the ground fault circuit interrupters, are they within 6 feet of every water source? Are they functioning properly? Are they tripping? Whenever, you know, as far as that goes, any type of leaky sinks, leaky faucets, stoppages, that type of stuff. So any issues with the systems. And then any safety concerns, wood rot is a safety concern because rodents can get into the home, termites can get into the home, mold issues, that type of stuff. So we're looking for the three S's. Again, the structure, the systems, and safety components. Everything else is really a menial task, and it can be resolved normally with the carpet needs to be replaced.
Yeah, cosmetic,
cosmetic
minor
stuff. It's all really minor things a lot of times on the other end of it. So that's the three S's that we primarily look for, and it all comes down to, you know, how you handle that. It starts with proper expectations and setting up the expectations for the buyer.
Yeah, and then negotiating that with the other agent on the selling side and the seller. Again, I think it's just like having an excellent attorney when you're going into court.
Absolutely.
Because that negotiation process, if it's a new agent that's not very confident or doesn't understand the three S's and what's important, like I said, I see so many deals fall apart on the inspection, and the inspection report's not even that bad.
Right.
I've seen 10 times worse inspections get remedied, get repaired, get fixed, and go to closing with two good agents, especially a good buyer's agent. Because again, a good buyer's agent, it's your job. You're the attorney. You're representing that client. You know, it's your job to really represent. And just like the listing agent, it's their job to represent that seller. Yeah. And so they need to work cohesively as a unit. And that's where, again, I stress to both parties, buyers and sellers who are watching the show, properly vetting and interviewing your agent, because it can make or break the whole transaction, and it can make you or cost you a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt. It comes down to, you know, I got a lot of the three P's and the three S's. Well, there's also four C's, right? And that's my next book. I'm writing the four C's of marriage and the four C's of real estate.
Okay.
And so you're gonna read it one way. It's gonna be about my career in real estate and the four C's that go along with it. You're gonna flip the book over and you're gonna read it the other way. And it's gonna be about a successful marriage. I've been married 25 years this year, so it works out. So the first C is communication.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have communication in a real estate deal, or if you don't have communication in your marriage, more than likely, it's just not going to work out.
Yeah.
Right?
That's, again, it's funny, when I want to win over a real estate company's business, I normally ask them what's their biggest complaint about their mortgage person or their, you know, whoever they're working with, the banks. And the number one complaint is normally communication.
It is.
And the same thing women complain about us as men would be communication.
That's right. It's communication. Then consideration. You got to have consideration for all parties. You know, I'm not writing everything. My wife's not writing everything. You know, and the other agent may not be right. I may not be right on my end. So you got to have communication, consideration. You got to have compromise. And then you got to have cash to make the deal work. More loans fall through as a result of financial reasons. More transactions fall through for financial reasons as well, right? And marriages fail for financial struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to communication, consideration, compromise, and cash to make this whole deal work out all the way through on both sides of the trench on the platform.
I like that. And it's a great analogy how you flip that between marriage and the real estate side of things, because both of those do go
hand in hand. No pun intended, right?
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's, again, you are for 30 or 60 days or sometimes more, hopefully not too much more if everything's running smoothly, but you are basically married to your mortgage broker and your realtor. You know, we're all in this, and I always say we're a team.
That's right, exactly right.
And I have agents that it's great. You love it. Every process is smooth. Every transaction, even if there's issues, it's still smooth because we're a good team. And having the right people on the team, it all runs very smooth. The buyers are happy, the sellers are happy, and everything goes according to plan. You know, but there are those instances where you have the wrong person on the team, And it can really make even a pretty simple transaction a little more stressful and difficult.
Absolutely. It's kind of like there's a book called The Energy Bus. I don't know if you ever read it before.
But no, I got a bunch of my Audible. I'm going to download it after the show.
Fantastic book. And the analogy that they use is that basically, you know, you could have a person driving the bus, and they may or may not be qualified with a CDL to drive that bus. They may be better off in the back seat, you know, looking at the GPS or the map or whatever the case may be, and not necessarily physically driving it. It's the same thing in a real estate team and a transaction like you're talking about. You have many parts of the team. You have, number one, you have the buyer and the seller, right? You have the home inspector, you have the appraiser, you have the mortgage broker, and you have two realtors normally in the deal.
Right.
And so it's a huge team, and there's a huge process in which that you have to coordinate, and sometimes that's the hardest part when it comes to the closing, which is another C we got, right? When it comes to the closing, it's getting all those people on the same page to close at the same time, be at the same location, title attorneys, everything else. But you know, regarding that, it's definitely, you have to have the right players in the bus. And so we have basically a director of first impressions at our office. And she handles my contract to close. She is absolutely phenomenal. She's been with me for 7 years now. And she does the welcome call whenever a client hires us to represent them. She does a welcome call directly with them to let them know, hey, welcome to the team. Thank you so much for doing business with our team. And we move forward in the process from there. So.
Okay, and we'll continue with that because I want to hear more about the team after this short commercial break. You guys stay tuned for the second half of Financial Fitness with Darren James. Good evening. We are Cellevated here in studio. Cellevate keeping me awake for the second half of the show. It's really easy to stay awake, though, when you're talking something that you're passionate about and when you're around other high-energy, passionate, positive people like my friend Darren James, who's in studio with me today. So, Darren, you were just bragging about your team, and I think that's huge because I remember being a one-man band, and you may have been like me at one time in your career too, where we're a little bit of a control freak because, you know, no one can do it as good as us, but then we realize we really have to let go of control in order to grow and actually give our clients a better experience by bringing in other experts and having other experts on the team. So you mentioned you have a client relations person on the front end. Right. Who else is on your team that the clients get to experience?
So basically, when I first started, it was just me. You know, I had a previous career, for those who don't know, the listeners, in law enforcement. I worked in law enforcement for 10 years prior to getting into real estate. And, ended up getting into real estate and wanted to sell basically two houses my first year. Sold 10 my first year and fell in love with the industry. And I learned early on, it used to be called something that used to be called leverage in your business. You have to have proper leverage to be able to, now it's called scalability.
Right.
To be able to scale, you have to have that leverage. And so that's the whole key in the process. So my first hire was my dad. He was my first buyer's agent. And based on the lady that called, and you know what I said, I'm doing this wrong maybe. But then my next hire was an administrative assistant. I hired somebody to do all the input and to really basically keep the processes rolling. And to always be improving the process, because that's what keeps me up at night still to this day. I mean, 22 years into this, I'm still up every single night trying to find ways to make this be an unbelievable experience. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if a person is buying or selling a $10,000 home or a $10 million home. If it's important to that person, it needs to be important to us. And that's how I've always ran the business. It's you know, you can go sleep at the Red Roof Inn, or you can go sleep at the Ritz-Carlton. They still do the same process. They still are accomplishing the same result, but there's a different experience at each one of them. Not saying either one of them is right or wrong, but the fact of the matter is there's a different experience of what you want to achieve in your world. And so we try to be the Ritz-Carlton of the real estate industry.
Right.
And so my team is very, I'm very, very blessed to have a team. I have a team of 13 buyer's agents who work directly with me. They have the opportunity to list or sell property. I primarily handle the listings on my side. I don't necessarily work with a whole lot of buyers any longer. I form those out to my team members. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a firm believer, whenever that lady called me back then, I'm like, well, maybe she's right. Maybe I should be focusing a majority of my time on marketing her property.
Right.
And that's what I love to do. That's what I love to market things, to find ways to make a person's home stand out. I remember when I first got in this business, one of the biggest things that I ever did was I took out a billboard on Corporate Boulevard. And on that billboard, I had a cat on that billboard. And it said, cat for sale, $250,000, home included, is what it said. It was a big old blown up picture of a furry white cat. And I drove into my website, agent225.com/cat. And that's where they went back then. And it was a landing page. People, I got all kind of comments about that because I sold that house as a result of that ad.
Wow.
Because it drove people to that website. They saw the house. Oh, man, I like this house. Let me go see it. And it was just different. You got to be first or you have to be different. Just like right now, the big thing that Matt, who works at this radio station on AFR, we're doing is what's called buy one, list one free through our team.
Yeah.
And so basically, if a client is in a situation, I've noticed over my career that I have people who have bought a home through me some time ago. And they may get transferred with a job within 6 months, 8 months. They don't have the equity built up in that property
to pay for
the listing fees.
Right.
Same thing with for sale by owners. They don't want to pay the full listing fee, and so forth. So, long end of the story short, I said, okay, well, how do I solve for this? How do I help the person get what they want and make this a win-win for everybody involved? So I put together the buy one, list one free program, and so. The only person in the area that's offering it, the first to offer it, I'm sure other people are going to take it. It's called R&D in our industry, rip off and duplicate. It happens all the time, right?
That's college football coaching.
That's what
too.
It is, man. So that's what it is. And so the fact is that, you heard it here first. I was the first. But long and the story short, it's just a win-win all the way around for everybody involved. And that's what we're trying to do.
So, and explain that real quick for people who are looking to list or buy.
Sure.
So what do they get with that list and buy?
100% everything. So they get my entire marketing plan that I have. I have an 89-point marketing plan. If you want to see if you want to get a copy of my book, my home seller book, if you're thinking of selling your home right now, you can text the keyword book, B-O-O-K, to the number 88,000, 88,000. Text the keyword book to 88,000. It'll send you a copy of our marketing plan, our seller's book that we put together, and to kind of give you an idea of how to start the process with selling your home. But once they go there, they call me up, say, Darren, I want to sell my house. I'm buying another house. I'm relocating down the road, wherever they're going, right? I sit down and I determine first, I do what's called a needs analysis. It's all in what, it may not make sense for them to sell right then and there, depending on where they're trying to go. One of the first things that you have to check when you're trying to put your house on the market for sale is that, can you afford to buy the next house?
Right.
Is the note going to be within what you feel comfortable with? Because chances are there is a possibility that your financial situation may or may not have changed from the time you bought your first house to the time you're selling your second house. You may have taken a pay cut for whatever reason to get to the perfect job and your ideal job. So you have to really do what's called a needs analysis to determine, hey, look, is it the right time for me to sell? What's out there in the market? Let's do a consultation, find out if it makes sense for you. If it makes sense, then we tell you the steps to move forward with the process. If it doesn't make sense, then we put you on a path to, hey, this is what you need to do. Let's help you get this accomplished and work through all your goals. Because as realtors, we're counselors, we're advisors, we're all these different hats that we wear to give the clients. Because when someone hires a realtor, we have a fiduciary responsibility to represent that client's best interest at all times.
Right.
And that's paramount. And that's what I tell my agents, back to my team, right? I tell them the lifetime value of a client is worth so much more than a one-time sale.
Oh yeah.
So you may not know the answer. You tell them you don't know the answer. You may not have all the answers. You find the answers for them and you give them real accurate advice.
Yeah.
And that's what we have, how we run our business.
Well, and you bring up a good point. That's something I'm huge on, and I preach that, we have to be true advisors. And the only way to, number one, like you said, to be a master in what you do, which comes from thousands of transactions and studying and really perfecting your craft and always educating yourself. And then, as well, you've got to also be able to articulate that to the client and guide them through the process. Even if the advice is, it's not the time to sell.
Right.
You know, I big thing, and one of the big reasons I left Guaranteed Rate, you know, I didn't align. One of my core values when I had my company was people over profit. And over the years, I did free loans. You know, if it was a matter of competing with another bank, or, you know, the market shifted, or they couldn't afford the payment, but they needed the house. I've done loans where we made $0 before for a client because it was about acquiring the client,
right,
and earning their trust and showing them that we can make up for that later. We don't have to make money every single time on every transaction. Kind of like you said, buy one, sell one, and you get one for free.
Right.
You know, so that value is huge to the client, and being able to give something like that to the client.
There's just so many values that you always have to begin with the client in mind, and always make sure that the client's best interest is always upheld.
Yeah.
No matter what. You know, like we have another program called our Love It or Leave It program. So if you sit there and you buy a house through us, for example, and you get transferred with a job to Texas, and you got to be there next month, if you bought our house through us, we'll turn around and sell that property for free for you.
Nice.
You know, and then also have a guaranteed sale program. If I don't sell your home in 59 days or less, I'll step in and sell it for free or buy it myself.
So okay.
A lot of different programs, and I mean, it's strong, right?
That's amazing.
It's strong.
So we'll touch on some more of that, and after this commercial break, I want to talk about do's and don'ts and some of the myths in buying in our final segment. So you guys stay tuned for more financial fitness after this. Good evening. I hope everybody is enjoying the show as much as I am. We are in our final segment. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does.
So we were just talking, and I want to touch on a couple things that we talked about earlier today, was myths in the home buying process, do's and don'ts, and dispelling some of the myths out there, because there's a lot of bad information and a lot of, friends and family who are misinformed, and not that this is a bad thing. Sometimes people are trying to help, but they're just misinformed,
right?
And their guidance is oftentimes not accurate. So I want you to kind of touch on some of those myths that you come across on a regular basis.
Sure. I had one last week. A guy called me up and he said, Darren, I'm looking to buy a house and was figuring in, you know, how much he's going to need, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, well, you know, I need at least X amount of dollars. And so he thought he needed 20% down. And you being in the business, right, you own Intelligent Mortgage.
Yeah.
And the top, if not, you know, one of the top, if not the top, mortgage companies in the Baton Rouge area.
Right.
That's completely a myth, right?
Totally inaccurate.
Right.
You know, like, hey, that, even avoiding MI, we even have programs with no MI.
Yep.
Above 80%.
Right.
So even, you know, you have to put 20% down to not have monthly PMI. There's also alternatives to that. So,
right.
You know, you've got 3% down. You've even got 100% financing available for first-time home buyers. So that, I've come across that one countless times over the years, because grandpa and grandma and, you know, people two generations ago, that was the standard. 20% down.
It was a norm. Absolutely it was. And so now, as inflation has caught up, as different things have come available, it really takes it, in most cases, two incomes to survive, right? In most cases. And the real estate is what affects all aspects of every economy in a general area. Because as people move into that area, they're going to start using those gas stations, they're going to start using those malls, they're going to start using those, you know, those, convenience stores, etc. And that affects everything. And so the government had to say, okay, well, how can we make this work to where the consumer doesn't have to put down 20%?
Right.
And so, like, for example, Livingston Parish, Ascension Parish, parts of East Baton Rouge Parish, the Felicianas, a lot of those areas qualify for what's called 100% USDA, rural development.
Oh, yeah. Love that
and
program.
That was a majority of my business at one point. I felt, you know, since the market went crazy the last 2 years, effectively, I was seeing more people putting down more down payments to make their offer more attractive.
Right.
Right? And that's because they had to, because it was supply and demand regulates everything within every economy. And when there's no supply there, the demand is higher. So they had to make their offers attractive. But it doesn't really, now in today's, as the market's starting to adjust itself, you're going to start to see lower down payments. you're going to start to see closing costs come back into play.
Yeah.
You're going to start to see sellers' homes, extended days on the market. You're going to start to see a balanced, more normal market than we've seen in quite some time.
What about like time of the year? You hear different, when's the best time of the year to buy or sell? Yeah.
So let's talk about the cycle, right? The cycle of real estate. So historically, what I've noticed is that November, for me personally and our team, has been the best time to buy or sell a home for us. And here's how the cycle works. I sat back and looked at this. So I try to analyze everything. I'm a very analytical person. I have something called CDO. It's OCD in alphabetical order. And so I analyze all the numbers. And so I like to know where trends are, statistics are, why things happen. I'm always asking why and how can we make this better. And so the cycle starts normally February the 15th of every year. Here's why. February 15th, the climate, it starts to warm up in South Louisiana. People start walking neighborhoods. Oh, Brandon and Trey, they put their house on the market. Let me call my friend Matt and tell him, because I knew he was looking to move in this area. Phone calls start to happen. People start walking neighborhoods. They see for sale signs, and they start to talk about it, right? Oh, my neighbor put their house on the market. They share it on social media. So that's right around February 15th. March and April, people start getting money for income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have more money for a down payment,
right?
May, June, July, August, people are moving for what? School systems.
Yeah.
So they're moving for school systems. September is normally a slower month. October is normally a slower month. Then November. November is gangbusters because a lot of people want to have a new year and a new beginning in that new year.
Right.
So they put their property on the market in November, sell it. They can buy their new house, 30 days of escrow through December with holidays, etc. Let's close the 3rd of January, first week of January, or whatever. And historically, that's how it's been. And so it gives people opportunity. January is normally a stagnant month in most cases, but come February, it's gangbusters from February 15th normally all the way through August. Then we've got a lull, normally October, September, October. And then November, it starts over again. So,
wow. Okay. And, you know, I've had some of my best months in December as well with closings.
Yeah.
1 year, I remember, and I think my title companies were unhappy with me, but I had 3 closings on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I went to all 3 of them, and all 3, these were families that they put in contracts after Thanksgiving, and they wanted to have Christmas in their new home with their kids. So they were wanting, I will do anything for my clients. Yeah. They wanted to be in the house for Christmas. They wanted to have the stockings. They didn't care anything
Christmas
else.
Christmas tree.
Christmas tree. So Christmas Eve, we closed, and they were in their house for Christmas.
That's awesome.
And that was a big motive, like you said, to start the year or to have the holidays in their new home, Thanksgiving or Christmas. They wanted their kids to be at home and in their own house, not in their apartment anymore.
That's right. Yeah. The happiness that brings people.
Yeah.
You know, home ownership is just the ultimate, right? And to be able to give that person that opportunity, that's everything, man. That's everything.
We had a lady, grandmother, not even a mother, this was a grandmother, first in her family to own a home. And her goal was to have a home for her grandchildren. Her and her children never had a home. But this was, she was in her, I believe, 70s. I don't think she was even in her 60s. I believe she was in her 70s, and she bought her first home with us. And that was a huge motivator for her, was I want my own home for my grandchildren and to have that. And that was a big thing.
It's unbelievable to know people buy homes for many different reasons. Downsize, they got to downsize a lot of times, divorce. But to be able to help that person get to their next step in their life, wherever that may be, because everybody has their own story. Everybody's story is different.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And to help them get to that next level, that's the ultimate satisfaction.
It is. I love it.
It really is. It's amazing.
I love it. It brings a smile. People who are listening on the radio can't see a smile.
Yeah,
we're smiling just talking about it.
It's amazing. I mean, it really is amazing.
You know, and we were talking about, like, that lady had been renting for 70 years. you know, that's another myth, and we only got about a minute or so left, but, you know, people think renting sometimes is cheaper, and even with inflation and the cost and rates where they are today, it's still cheaper to own a home than to rent.
Absolutely. I mean, it may seem that way at first, but, you know, you got grass cutting, you know, no grass cutting, you got no maintenance, no down payment, et cetera. But whenever you own a home, you're investing into that home's equity. And that's the whole part of it. Instead of paying it to a landlord, you're investing it back into your equity. You know, rental pricing is also going up with the rise of recent rates. So it just definitely at this time, it makes more sense to buy at this point.
100%. And one thing people forget, and I always reiterate this to my clients who are on the fence about staying and renting or buying, rent is going up over 10% annually in most markets. And when you buy a house today, that is fixed for the next 30 years. So you're locking in that payment and that cost for 30 years versus rent that's going up every year. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for tonight.
I could talk forever, man. I really appreciate being here. Thank you for your guests, for, you know, and the listeners out there. I'm just honored to be able to share with you today. Brandon, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Darren. And tell them real quick before we punch out, where can they find you?
www.agent225.com. That's agent225.com.
All right. We thank you guys here from Financial Fitness. Everyone have a wonderful evening.